since the conference this past week and the will of God was done, I thought to myself immediately after that was over, this would be a great topic for a sermon on standing up for God. And we do need to stand up for God. I'm going to start with Micah 6, 6 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear your mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you are enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? In Matthew 14, 22 through 33, immediately he had made the disciples get into the boat and go on to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command to me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And then John 14, 15 through 31. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise and let us be on our way." All of those verses talk about doing what God wants, following God's commandment, and not being afraid of the things that are going on in the world around us. There was a family that took a vacation in Colorado. They flew to Denver, rented a car, and while they were there, they went to visit the Royal Gorge Bridge. This is a wooden bridge. And the father stopped the car, and he's kind of debating whether or not to go over this bridge. It sits 1,000 feet above the Arkansas River. And while he was out there kind of walking and testing the bridge, a car drove by, and he noticed that the boards were shaking a little bit, and he's thinking, I am not driving out on that bridge. His daughter said to him, what are you worried about? The car's a rental. What difference does it make if it's a rental or you own it? You crash, you're going to crash. But anyway, 1,000 feet above the river, we might all be afraid. We might all be afraid if we were 50 feet above the river and get nervous about it. And if you've ever been afraid, you can kind of sympathize with Simon Peter. You know, he told Jesus that he wanted to imitate him. He wanted to do everything Jesus did. But when it came right down to it, he was a little bit of a wimp. He feared a lot of things. And the story about walking on the water, he feared the waves and started sinking. Was he afraid he was going to drown? The man was a fisherman, for heaven's sakes. He ought to know how to swim. But he got scared. And in typical fashion, we get scared. Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls us up. This whole story takes place after he fed the 5,000, and that was 5,000 men plus their families. And he got concerned because the crowds had decided, because of this great miracle, they were going to crown him king. But that was not his mission. He was to be part of God's kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. And so he told the disciples, get in a boat. We're going to go to the other side. I'm going to tell everybody they need to go home, and we'll meet back together. And as Jesus did a lot of times after he dismissed the crowds, he went off by himself to pray, to talk to Dad, to talk to the Father. And as I've always mentioned, prayer is about talking. It's not in talking at, it's talking with God. That's prayer. And he did that a lot. He would go off by himself and talk to his Father. And you notice in that verse, he talks about, have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I may have mentioned before, somebody took the time to count all the words in the Bible that had a connection to afraid or fear or those kinds of things. And they determined that there are 365 instances in the Bible where it talks about do not be afraid or do not fear or some derivative of that. There is a do not be afraid for every day of the year. Think that happened by coincidence? Probably not. God knew what he was doing when he dictated the Bible to us men here on earth. There's a do not be afraid for every day of the year. And Jesus looked at Peter and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you have any doubt? Why do we have doubts? We sometimes go into something thinking, yeah, I can do this. And you get into it and you think, oh, maybe not. You start to get that little doubt in your mind and it doesn't work out. Don't let those things cause fear. Don't let those things hold you back. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you and if Jesus is walking with you, you can accomplish anything. You have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to fear. There's a funny little story about Mark Twain. He knew the Bible pretty good, apparently. Him and his wife went to the Middle East, and they stayed a night in this nice little resort on the Sea of Galilee, and they noticed it was a nice moonlit night, and they thought, well, let's see if we can take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee under this moonlit night, and kind of a romantic thing. So they went down and they asked one of the fishermen on the beach what he would charge to take them out on the sea. Well, we can all envision Mark Twain. He always wore the white suit, the white shirt, the white shoes. So immediately the fisherman thinks, this guy's rich. So he looks at Mark Twain and he says, for you, my friend, $25. And remember, this is back when $25 was a lot of money. Mark Twain kind of looked at him and turned and walked away. And as he was walking away, he kind of grumbled. He says, I always wondered why Jesus walked. Now I know. We all know that story about Jesus walking on the water and about how Simon Peter was afraid and shouldn't have been. There was a commercial airline pilot that, you know, if you've ever flown, occasionally you hit the runway pretty hard. And it's not the pilot's fault, it's just the way things are. Well, this one particular flight, the pilot hit the runway pretty hard. And it was airline policy for the pilot, this was back before the days of the steel doors on cockpits, it was their policy for the pilot to stand there and thank everybody for flying with them as they departed the plane. And he's thinking, oh man, that was a pretty rough landing and I'm going to hear about it. But nobody said anything. They just went on and went out the plane. Except for there was this one little old lady with a cane. She was the last one on the plane. And as she got to the door, she looked at the pilot and she said, Sonny, can I ask you a question? He says, sure, ma'am, what is it? Did we land or were we shot down? Sometimes we feel like we've got shot down. We go into something, we approach something in a specific way with a good spirit, and we get shot down. Those kinds of things happen. Whether it's financial or family or work or whatever, things happen that shoot us down. But we can't let those things get to us. We can't let those things make us afraid of doing anything. We have to stand up and do things with the knowledge that Christ can get us through whatever it is. Psychologists tell us that babies are born with two fears, natural fears, loud noises and falling. I'm not sure why those two. But as we grow, we accumulate other fears. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people fear dogs, lightning and thunder, closed spaces, trains, planes, whatever. You know I'm a fan of Peanuts, and if you've ever watched the Christmas show, Charlie Brown sitting in front of Lucy's psychiatry booth and they're trying to figure out what's going on, and she says, maybe it's pharyngeophobia. He goes, what's that? That's the fear of everything. And he looks at her and says, that's it. Some people are afraid of their own shadow, and you don't need to be that way. If you've got Christ with you, if you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart, you do not have to be afraid of anything. Fear is a universal emotion. I mean, everybody fears sometimes. Sometimes a little bit of fear is good because it keeps you on point. But don't let fear bind you and keep you from doing things. It's a hostile world out there. The verses I read said the ruler of the world is coming. He was warning them, the devil's after you. And I've mentioned before, the closer you are to God, the harder he tries to come after you. So be prepared. But don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of it. Christ never promised it was going to be an easy life. He never told his disciples that things are going to be great from now on. All he told them was he was going to be with them. Things happen in our lives. Roofs leak. We have vehicle accidents. Stuff happens. Sometimes, as the song says, we get the gold mine and sometimes we get the shaft. That's life. Life can be shattering sometimes. But life is what it is. The secret of successful living is to have such an inner sense of peace that we can manage the problems that come after us no matter how severe they are. He promised the disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit to give them courage and comfort in the difficult days ahead. Courage and comfort. Those are the two main qualities you need to be a Christian warrior. Warrior, not worrier. We are to be Christian warriors. That's a part of discipleship. Take courage. Do not be afraid. There's a young man in New Haven, Connecticut, a few years back, 15 years old, was approached by a group of gangbangers. They wanted him to sell drugs for them. He told them no. They're not used to being told no. So they thought, we're going to make an example of him. We're going to teach him a lesson. So they beat up his 14-year-old brother and broke his 14-year-old brother's bike. But in the process of this, this young 15-year-old boy got in between them and his brother. He defended his brother. And in the process, one of the gang members pulled out a gun and shot him in the stomach. He survived. He did okay. He was asked later if he would do that again. He says, yes, because you've just got to do what you think is right. You've got to stand up. Country singer Aaron Tippin, quite a few years back now, sung a song called "You've Got to Stand for Something or You'll Fall for Anything." And that's how it is. If you don't stand up for what's right, the church is going to crumble and fall around us. And thank God those delegates at that conference this past week stood up for what was right. And we need to continue to stand up for what's right. There's a preacher quite a few years back who was going to get a visit by Andrew Jackson. He was going to be in the congregation that morning. The elders warned him, be careful what you say. We don't want to upset the president. Well, the first thing out of his mouth was, I understand President Andrew Jackson is here this morning. I have been requested to be very guarded in my remarks. But let me say this. Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent of his sin. You could have heard a pin drop in that congregation. After the service, Andrew Jackson walked up to the preacher at the door and said, sir, if I had a regiment of men like you, I could conquer the world. He actually appreciated the preacher's conviction and courage. That's the way we need to be. We need to be convicted and courageous. Christianity is not a social club where you get together and have meals and talk. Christianity is about discipleship. Christianity is about being a warrior. It's standing up for those things that are right and good, those things that are going to last. In 1887, there was a professor, a music professor, named A.J. Showalter. He had gotten some sad news. Two of his former students had lost their wives. He was always devoted to his students. He knew his students real well. So he wanted to comfort them, but really didn't have any comforting words. So he turned to Scripture. And in Deuteronomy 33:27, he found, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And out of those verses, he wrote the song, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And that's where we need to be. Not through fear, not being afraid of doing anything, not being afraid to talk to somebody, but being convicted and courageous and leaning on God. So whether it's somebody asking you about the church or Christianity or the Bible or whatever connected to being with Christ, we have to be courageous and convicted and tell them what it says. Tell them what it means to be a Christian. Tell them about the Holy Spirit. Because He will be there with you and within you. And He will make you do the right thing. He will help you get through it. You've got to stand up for God. We've been silent too long. And because we've been silent, they have worked their way into getting their way. And we cannot allow that to happen. Amen.